Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is another special edition of Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherrill, America's favorite Southern Belle. You know exactly how I do it. I am coming to you live from the ATL. It is a cloudy day, but we will not allow that to cloud our spirits. Everyone should be wide awake and ready for this big topic of the day. Now, those of you who are listening for the first time, Real Talk Radio normally airs at 11 a.m., which I know is so bright and early on a Saturday morning, but I promise you that I will love you forever for joining me so early in the morning. But today was a big topic, and I wanted to make sure that everybody was wide awake for the big topic. Today's show segment is titled, I Do Take You, and this show is completely about relationships. Yes. Everybody go ahead and sigh, always. Today is 100% about relationships. We are talking about dating. We're talking about marriage, divorce, sex, family, children, everything that impacts a relationship. Today, we are going to dive head first and get at least waist deep in it. Now, I understand that the show is only an hour, and there might not be enough time to completely cover all of the topics, but you know your girl got you. So don't worry about it, because there will be a second edition of I Do Take You, where we will continue on with our very deep philosophical discussion about dating and marriage. So before we jump right on into the topic, let's go ahead and do our little week in review. You know, I wait all week long to review my week with you. One thing I have to say, I have to start out with this, is Sandra Bullock filed for a divorce, and I guess that is something else that sort of can be discussed with this topic for today, because I think everybody was sort of on death watch, just waiting for the death of her marriage after the big scandal happened with her and her husband. But an unexpected twist in the Sandra Bullock news, she has adopted a beautiful little black baby. Saw pictures of him on the internet, pictures on magazines. He is absolutely adorable. I am 100% happy for her. And it seems as though this thing with Sandra Bullock is twofold. You know, the door to her marriage is closing, but the door to motherhood is really opening up for her. And for that, I am happy for her. So if someone knows Sandra, tell her that I said good looking out. Love your son. He's so cute. And that's all the listeners of Real Talk Radio, wish her the very best. Another thing with my weekend review, because you know, some days I swear I live on my own reality TV show, like The Truman Show, The Kay Sherrill Show, and you just never really know what is going to happen, what to expect. You just don't. I'm telling you, somebody needs to get some cameras and follow me around, because I could not make this stuff up if I wanted to. A big thing, I tackled crab legs again yesterday for the first time in like 10 years. And anybody that knows me know I do not like to work for my food. I'm so for real about that. Do chicken wings, because I don't want to have to sit there and pull apart, you know, bone after bone for a little piece of meat. And that's exactly what I had to do with crab legs. I had no idea. It was so much work. I'm sitting there cracking and pulling and fighting, getting completely dirty from like head to toe for a piece of meat that's like the size of my fingernail. I was sitting there like, oh my God, I'm going to die of hunger before I even get to the actual meal. And it was so funny because my friend that I was with 100% loves crab legs. Like, she loves them. And she was finishing hers. Like, she finished her pound, and I hadn't even really, you know, began to finish my pound. By the time I finished mine, they were cold. I already move a little bit slow with food anyway. And now you're telling me I actually have to, like, use my muscles to eat it. I got to crack and pull and break and dip. Oh, my God. I was like, this is like cardio and a meal together. Like, this is exactly why they don't sell food at the gym. It was never meant to be this way. Like, not at all. I was tripping out. Another thing that was really funny is it seemed like last night was all about tall people. There were so many large guys in Peppers last night. I was really like, okay, is there a height requirement for guys today to be in here? Because I swear every guy was like 6'3" and taller. And this huge red guy like accosted me about moving a chair. Of course, he was playing in the end, but I didn't know that. He was like, you move my chair. And I'm like, oh, God, this guy is like too big for me to fight. Like, run or apologize. I was like, I better apologize because he's like Jason. He'll take two steps and catch up with me in like no time. So I was completely tripping out about the huge red man that accosted me about moving his chair. I would have to say probably the thing that I enjoyed most about my week was the discussion that started on Facebook about relationships. I posted on my profile, I said, what are your questions about marriage and dating? Like, questions or comments about marriage. And some of the responses were very interesting. Some of them were surprising, to say the very least. But, you know, overall, I felt like the discussion was at least beginning to start good. So hopefully those listeners are on the internet right now, and my panel will be able to really answer some of these questions, get a little bit deeper into the discussion. So I'm going to get ready to start bringing on my panel, and I have to tell you that finding individuals who have something to say about marriage and dating is extremely easy, but be willing to come on the air and be vocal about what it is you have to say and how you feel about things, that's a completely different story. And although it's radio, for some reason people are always a little bit nervous about coming on my show. I don't know if it's the title or what, but I'm always so stoked to have listeners on and have my special guest. So one member of my panel is Dr. Lindiria Tevers, and she, to say the very least, is very well informed on so many different topics. I'm very excited to hear her views about marriage and dating. Another panel member is Dwight Baker, and he is also out of Atlanta. And Dwight is such a somber person. Every discussion I have with him is so very real. It's so very pleasant. So I'm thinking that he will probably be our somber person of the day. I would have to say that probably, in my opinion, because me and this gentleman don't know each other very well, but I find him to be quite interesting, is Mr. Andre Brooks. And he is a multifaceted individual. And the thing that makes him so interesting to be a part of this panel, Andre is only 21. And he has been married for nearly 2 years now. So it's going to be interesting, to say the very least. For those of you who are listening on the internet, I want to let you know that if you have any questions at any time you would like to call into the show, the guest call-in number is 646-595-4522. Again, the number is 646-595-4522. You're listening to Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherrill, America's favorite Southern Belle. Those of you who are listening via phone and you would like to pull it up on the internet, the site is blogtalkradio.com/Kimberly-Sherrill. Those of you who are familiar with the website, Sherrill is spelled exactly the same. So I guess I am just ready to go ahead and dive head first into this topic this morning. Let's just dive head first into the whole marriage thing. Let's talk about it. Let's all communicate. So right now I want to welcome all of my panel members on the air, Andre, Dwight, and Lynn. Good afternoon. You're on Real Talk Radio. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Okay, I heard Dwight, I heard Lynn. Andre, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're here. Okay. Well, I guess the first thing is I'm going to allow everyone to give a very brief introduction. I know I sort of did the prep, but let you go ahead and introduce yourself to each other and to all of the listeners, just whatever you want to throw out there about yourself, age, status, however you would like to do it. This is Real Talk. I don't speak for you. So I'm going to start with Dwight. Introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hi, I'm Dwight Baker. I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm currently separated from my wife. I have two beautiful daughters. And I've been here in that Atlanta area since 1988.
Since when?
Since 1981.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, 1981 goes the white. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
say what?
Since 88.
Oh, since 88. Oh, okay. I was about to say, because Andre is probably sitting there thinking, like, he's been in Atlanta since before my parents even knew each other. Oh, my goodness. I'm just teasing Dwight. I swear I'm teasing.
Good jokes.
Hey, I'm just teasing. You know, it's all in good fun. All right. So, Lynn, we're going to move on to you. Go ahead and say hello and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello. This is Lindaria Cheevers, and I am from Sylvester, Georgia. I live here in Atlanta. I've been here for 2 years and have been divorced for 5 years and have two handsome and smart, charming young men, and I'm excited about participating on today's panel.
Yes, I would have to say, now I can vouch, those are some handsome boys. They are very handsome. I can vouch 100% on that. They are so adorable, I promise you, and that is not a biased statement at all. Well, Andre, you're up at bat, so go ahead and say hello to all of the listeners and do your brief introduction, and we can get started.
Hello, everyone. I'm Andre. As was already stated, that I am 21, and I have been married for nearly about 2 years. Happily married. I don't have any kids yet. I'm actually still in school right now, working on getting a youth ministry degree and a business degree. But when I had the chance to, you know, get on the show, I was like, I definitely wanted to kind of talk about the topic, so I was pretty excited about that one.
Well, I am excited that you're excited. Let me just tell you that. Okay, so right now, before we jump in, tell everybody, because I have so many people sending me emails right now, you can listen to the show on your phone. Those of you who are getting ready to move away from the computer, the number is 646-595-4522. That is the number. Those of you who are listening on your phone, you can switch to the internet if you like, blogtalkradio.com/Kimberly-Sherelle. So I guess the first question I want to throw out at the panel and just jump in with your own personal answers, but one of the questions that was asked by a young lady, she wanted to know how long should she know someone, should they date before they get engaged, and how long should you stay engaged, because her comment was, says that seems like people get engaged and just stay engaged for 10 years. I don't know who she's around that stays engaged for 10 years, but I found it to be very interesting.
Yeah, 10 is a little bit too long.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. I'd like to get a piece of that. I think that if we have a relationship with the Creator and we are able to discern and we seek His guidance, and He divinely connects us with someone, I don't think there's any reason that the dating and engagement process should go on into 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. After that third date, you should have some idea of whether or not that person is a probable mate. And if they are not a probable mate, I would not continue to linger on and spend time with that person. I would move on and be perfectly content not to date until I meet the person who may be that candidate for marriage. So, yes, 10 years is too long. I think that by 6 months, we actually should start to have talks about engagement, and within a year to 18 months, we should have gone to the altar.
You know, you said something that was interesting. Go ahead, Andre. Go ahead.
Just saying, as far as for me and my wife, I mean, as far as engagement, we were engaged for 3 months, and we got married, you know, and like she said, within, you know, by the third date, you should know something about this person. You know, people go every day in life, you know, just go out, well, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that to marry. Well, don't look for the wrong things. You need to really sit down and ask yourself, what do you want in a husband? What do you want in a wife? And you can tell those things right off the bat if people have those. If they have those aspects, then you're going to know that that's something worth going after, you know.
You know, that means that you're dating with a purpose, and that is something that I say to my friends all the time, and that is part of the thing, you know, with me and dating. When you're dating, you should be dating with a purpose. You should not just sort of be flailing out there just to, I don't know, have fun. I mean, you can if you would like, but I think that at some point you're going to realize that you wasted a lot of yourself with people unnecessarily. My thing has always been to date a person and then just really start to try to really get to know the person within those first couple of dates and ask yourself, is this someone I can see myself, you know, spending years with? Not, you know, can I see myself still wanting to talk to him by the end of this movie? I think it should definitely be a little bit more purpose in it than just that. I definitely think that 100%. Dwight, comment?
I really believe, I mean, since I have been separated, I find you really need to be spiritually yoked together. And without that, the relationship will not work. Without the spirituality with each other and with God, that's what I feel.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is definitely, and the phone lines I'm telling you right now are going crazy. My listeners, I promise you, I am a Southern Belle. I will get to you. I definitely see all of your plays saying you have a comment about the first question, but I definitely want to move to this next because it goes, it's a huge thing when you're talking about relationships. People say all the time, I got married and this person changed, and the person that he or she became was not the person I married. I don't know what happened, but marriage changes people. Do you find that to be true? Not everybody at one time.
Well, I hear that a lot from a lot of different people, and personally, I think that, like, when you get married, There's a point, you know, it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, where your head is still up here in the clouds. And so I think that person is just the same person no matter what. You might have not noticed little things about him at first or her. With that, you have to bring up a lot of people. I don't understand why they think once you get married, you have to change, like something changes. Okay, why don't you still go out on dates? You know, why don't you say the things that you told that person when you were dating, you know, whether you had nicknames for each other, you know, whether you guys played little bitty games, I mean, any little thing. Why does that stop when you get married? And that's the problem. That's where everything's creating. Well, people change, you know, because as speaking for a man, I know myself, I don't show as much as for my wife. Like my wife all the time, I tell her every day that she's beautiful. She loves to hear those things every single day, okay? For me, I don't have to hear anything like that to know that my wife loves me, and it doesn't change any difference from when we first got married. We still love each other the same amount. Nothing changed. If anything, we love each other more today than we did then.
Okay. You did say something very interesting, and I see that with a lot of guys because, you know what, guys don't require, I guess you could say, that type of affectionate attention on a daily basis. You know, you're okay. Your wife doesn't need to say, hey, Charlotte, looking good today. See you in them jeans. Like, you don't need that. But women, we like to hear those things. That reassurance is definitely something that is extremely nurturing to your relationship and to the person that you're with. So I can definitely see that it would, you know, definitely add to the relationship. So you're telling me that you do expect changes, but as part of that change, you know, you still have to be willing to put in the necessary work to keep the changes from causing division.
Yes, because there's always going to be changes. I mean, in everything you do, relationship, I mean, work, you know, things are going to change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just taking each other for granted, I think.
So what now, the word repeat?
I believe that it seems like people just start taking each other for granted, that they're always going to be there, or I know where she is, or I know where he is, and they just take each other for granted. And I think that's the biggest problem.
I agree with you.
Yes. That is that, you know, and that's a big thing, because people really do take it for granted that you love them and that you're just going to stay. And that's not necessarily the case. Love is energy. It can never really be created or destroyed. It merely transfers. So you can take someone for granted and they go from being in love with you until they still love you. They just want to love you from a distance.
Mm-hmm. And I think someone made a very valid point that change is inevitable. And you're absolutely right. And Dwight, you mentioned something that's critical, and that is the spirituality. If we are playing or reading from the same sheet of music, we have the same playbook, we have the same belief system, even though we may change, our appearances may change, certain things may change, there will be that constant relationship with our Father, and that will keep us anchored so that whatever is going on around us, our circumstances, the challenges of the day, we will be anchored in that one constant, because, you know, things change, but we can have that one thing that's constant.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim, you mentioned a very valid point about the differences in communication style. We have to know the love language of our partner. Many women, their love language is those words of affection. We have to hear those words of affection. For some of us, it's spending time. So you have to know what your partner's love language is and be willing to speak their language. For me, I don't need a lot of your time. I'm a very solitary person. Give me a book in a quiet room and I'm happy. But
yes.
I do like acts of service. So when you do something for me, I know that you love me.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
And I like gifts.
Yes.
Acts of service and gifts. Those are my love languages. Yes.
Those are your love languages, gifts
those
and service.
Love yes.
But that is very true. You have to learn. You definitely need to know what your partner's love language is and how to do it. I mean, that is exactly it. Me, I love the time, and I like the words of affirmation. I mean, that is definitely it. And for people who aren't familiar with the languages of love, there are five of them: words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. So definitely being in tune with what your partner's love language is, I think, is key. One thing I definitely want to ask the panel is definitely about sacrifice, because sacrifice comes with relationships. And one of the questions that was asked by one of my friends online was that how much is too much to give up for a relationship?
I think in that essence, you got to kind of decide, you know, if this is a real relationship, as far as you're talking about marriage, like you said, you should be able to tell that by like the third date. If this is something that's very serious, then I don't think there's ever too much to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because technically we all long to be with someone, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, to be with someone that you were looking for, I think you can sacrifice anything. For me, like I said, for me, okay, I'm still in school, and I'm not quite finished with school. While I was in school, I had the opportunity to play college football. Okay? I played college football for 3 years. You know? I had a couple injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, when I met my wife, you know, things started changing. You know, I realized college football is like a job. You know, you're going to be doing stuff from 6 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night, you know, on certain days. And between that, you're still going to have time to work and then have time to, you know, as far as for me, for school and everything else. I realized, you know, I love the game of football, but I love my wife more. I want that relationship. So I don't play football anymore. I sacrifice football. You know, I give that up. I'm willing to do that because I'm wanting a relationship. You know, I don't think it's too much. I played football my whole life. You know, football made me the person that I am today, and I realize that. I wouldn't be who I am or where I am without it. But, once again, I don't think that there is too much to sacrifice for a relationship that you know you should be in, the one that God's calling you for.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I agree. It is give and take. We have our core values, those things that we absolutely will not sacrifice or compromise. But I absolutely agree with you that there is something within us that innately causes us to want to be with people, to have a mate. God created that in us. And so once he divinely connects you with that person that he created as your other half, then you are willing to compromise and give up those things that are just superfluous, those frivolous things that are not at your core value.
That's true.
Core value, that's a bigger thing. And I guess, I don't know, because people really can't discern between what is their core and what is merely, I guess you could say, surface things, fleshly things that they don't want to give up. And my statement has always sort of been, well, if you're not willing to do that, then I don't really think you and I are really headed in the right direction as far as certain things. But then on the flip, people will turn and say, if you love me, you wouldn't want me to give up something that makes me happy.
It's a give and take. It's quid pro quo. We have to compromise. But, again, if we are prayerfully led, and God will speak to us. He will give us direction. If we ask for guidance, we will receive that guidance. And we have to come sit and let us reason together. If there's something that's causing time or resources to be taken from the home, then the couple has to sit down and talk about, you know, this is taking a lot of time. It's taking time away from ministry. It's taking time away from family. It's taking time away from work. Or this is taking a lot of money. This is taking resources out of the home. What should we do about it? Okay, let's talk about it. Let's see what the Word of God says about it. Let's pray about it. And the answer will come. And once that answer comes, they have to be on the same sheet of music, agreeing that this is the direction that we will take. So, you know, we often say that we should pray without ceasing and seek ye first the kingdom of God. We say these things, but do we really live them out in our lives? If we are prayerfully led in all our decisions, it won't cause trouble in our homes. It won't be a case of animosity. It won't be a case of, you know, you're holding the grudge, oh, he made me give up my clarinet lessons. That won't be the case because it will be something that came from God. So if you have issue with anyone, then you'd have to take that up with your father.
The Bible has everything you need in it. The Word of God and how to go through a relationship, how to keep a marriage together. It's in the Bible. If you study it, if you help someone to help you study it, if you don't know where to look, someone can help you. Study the Bible. It will give you everything you need. And I waited too late. I wish I'd known that 18 years ago, but I didn't. And until I became saved, I didn't understand. Until I became saved, that's when I realized what I was doing wrong, what I missed in my relationship with my wife. And I can't tell you any other way than to go find somebody to help you go to God, look up, read the Bible. It's there. Everything you need is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kimberly Sherrell, may I make a comment on that, please?
Yes.
Just a quick comment. You're absolutely right, brother. And hindsight is 20/20. And thankfully, you know, God is a God of restoration. He can restore the years. He will restore us. He will redeem us. But I just like to commend the young brother on the line. And Kim, you'll have to help me with the name. Is it Brandon?
Andre,
sorry. I like to commend him because he has walked out the biblical principle of marriage. He sought the Father first and asked, am I ready for a wife? And I'm assuming this is what he did. And God said yes. And then once he went and started to look for a wife early in life, he then said, is this the one? And I hope I'm right. Stop me if I'm wrong, Andre. And God connected with him with his mate very early on in life. And so if we seek that primal relationship, God will order all of our other relationships. And some people may look and say, oh, 20, 18, that's really too young to be married. No, it's not. If God says you're ready for marriage and God says this is your mate, he will sustain that marriage from 18 until you're 90.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That is true because I know that, you know, the trend of waiting until you're in your 30s to get married is something that came 70s and later. Early on, people were getting married at a much younger age, and their relationship did stay together for many different reasons, but I've never felt as though there is a time limit on when you should commit to someone. And in reference to what you said, Landeria, about the praying and asking, are you ready, and praying and asking for a mate, I think that one of the mistakes that we make is that we don't truly believe God for what he says. He tells us, asking ye shall receive, you have not because you ask not. And I'm saying that because we ask for things, and when God delivers it to us, we then sort of become deer trapped in the headlights. We did not realize he was going to give it to us that fast, you know, or it didn't necessarily come in the package that we wanted. And so I think that as part of this whole process of, you know, getting married and connecting with someone is that you truly have to have a real relationship yourself with God before you can have one with someone else. You need to understand the relationship that you have with God so that you know and believe and trust him for what it is he says that he is going to do for our lives.
That's exactly what it is.
I want to turn to you, Andre, really quickly. And I want to ask you, how, like, looking at the decision you made and the those around you, because you are so young, and I'm sure many of your friends aren't married, how do you deal with the conflicts of married life versus the single life of your friends?
Well, I gotta say it. It's very complicated sometimes. You got to do it very carefully, obviously, because, I mean, for where I'm at with my relationship with God is what put me ahead of everybody else as far as being married at such a young age, you know, and that's what I try to get through my friend's head, that you have to have a relationship with God first, you know. I have so many friends that date, and they're like, oh, I want to get married, and you know, they just decide on their timing, and then next thing you know, they're getting a divorce. I've had quite a few friends to do that, you know, mm-hmm. And that's because they're just doing that because of what they want personally. They're not doing it during God's time. They're not doing it what God wants.
Mhm. Okay.
So it's one of those situations with sitting down trying to counsel friends. I have to always make sure that I let them know up front that it's not me, it's God.
Okay. Okay. That's a very real way to, I guess, handle the entire situation, because it if that is where all of your decisions come from, and you pray about things, and if they are really your friends, I'm assuming that they really are understanding of where you're coming from with all of that. Do you think that you've had to give up a lot since you've been married at such a young age?
I don't think so. I think I gave up exactly what I needed to give up at the time, and if I need to give up more, then that's what I need to give up. I mean, the number one goal is for us to please God. He created us to praise Him. I think that's what we all forget about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely. And as we get older and we're unmarried, it becomes more difficult for us to please God. I mean, let's be real. God created this attraction, this desire in us to not only have companionship, but He also created sex. He created sex to be within a marriage. And as you get older, and it sometimes becomes more and more difficult to hold to God's standard. It's not impossible. And if you desire to be sustained in that, He will sustain you in that. Look around the world and look at other cultures. If someone is in their mid to late 20s, married in most places around the world, it's considered a curse. It is considered a curse. It is considered a blessed thing for God to connect you with your mate very early on in life, for you to grow together in God and to please God together, to work together in ministry, and to do what He said do, and that is to raise a family together in His word. So I commend you, Andre, for following that biblical principle.
Yes, that is definitely a thing. And what you said about sex, you know, being created to be within a marriage, that's a huge thing, and that's always a big topic. Anytime I go to these different little hot topic parties where you discuss things, and that is one of the things, you know, that is constantly out there. And you hear the comments about, you know, well, if God didn't want me to have sex, He wouldn't have made it so much fun, and, you know, foolishness like that. But that is genuinely what it was designed for a husband and a wife, and it was to be within the marriage, and it was for the purpose of procreation to, you know, create this family and to raise this family and for everybody to keep their eyes on God. So that comment goes completely into what my next question was going to be about, is in relationships, how do you deal with infidelity? That is always a huge topic. You see it so much, especially in the media, when you're looking at various celebrities. I think Tiger Woods has probably had one of the biggest sex infidelity scandals that I know that I have seen in the last 10 years. Now everything with Sandra Bullock, we've heard it before with Eric Benet and Halle Berry, Usher and the singer Rosanna, known as Chili of TLC. Like, infidelity seems to be one of the things that sort of breaks the straw that breaks the camel's back. So my question to the panel is, how do you deal with infidelity within your relationship? Crickets are chirping.
I didn't want to dominate the conversation, so I was trying to hold back. But when we look, again, at that biblical standard, we see that sex is what consummated the marriage, is what created the blood coveted in the marriage. And also sex outside of the marriage breaks that covenant. And so when adultery is committed, then either party has every right by God's standard to end that marriage, even though God hates divorce. But what I would encourage a couple to do is to see if they can salvage it, to see if there can be true forgiveness. And once you forgive a person, that means you forget. Some people say, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. You have to forget about that thing. You can't, every time that man stepped foot in the door, you can't say, where you been? Have you been with your woman? No. Once you forgive, you have to truly forget and move on and ask God to restore and reset that marriage from go.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when it does happen, people don't really forget at all, or they just hold that grudge for so long. But like you said, I mean, If you got a relationship with God, you should be able to forgive one another. We get that, but it is hard for people to do that. And that just makes a marriage even worse when they don't forget. Or they can't let it go.
I think that is probably the thing that does make it really hard, the forgetting part. And I have a relative who experienced infidelity within the marriage, and forgiveness was given after a certain point, but the forgetting never really came. And I can say that 10 years later, it came back and divided them. So the forgiving and the forgetting is key, because how do because when I say forgive and forget, people think that you mean just wipe it out of your mind, and but you don't allow that memory to drive your actions. Not saying that you should just act as though it never happened, and if it comes up again or some of the same signs come up again, that you should ignore it, but you no longer allow it to drive your actions, to fuel your emotions for that person. That is the type of forgetting that I know that I am speaking personally of. And so how can you truly forgive a person if you're not willing to get to that point of forgetting? That's always been my question, because if you're still keeping it as a focal point in your mind, to a certain degree, it is still driving your actions and fueling your emotions for that person.
Absolutely, and you haven't forgiven. Your memory of that action is still drives your actions and how you respond to the person, then you truly haven't forgiven. You're still holding on to that offense.
True.
Very true. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is probably something Andre wants to hear nothing of, but divorce is a very real thing. And people have a misconception about what divorce is. And I can say this up front, I am not at all an advocate of divorce, not in the very least, because divorce is a very emotional thing. It's extremely difficult, but many people think that divorce means you no longer love the person. And I just have not ever really found that to be true for people that I know that are divorced, that it was merely saying that, you know, to continue to love each other in the way that we do, it is best if we are not apart, because at some relationships, things are so bad that you find yourself not doing and not living and feeling the way that God has intended for us to live and feel. And it's due to the relationship that you have with that person. And so at that point, you have to divide. And divorce is not part of God's plan. I 100% understand that. But neither is being miserable. Always what I say to people when they're like, well, God didn't intend for you to get divorced. I was like, he didn't intend for me to be miserable either. So my question to the panel is, what do you think of divorce? What constitutes a divorce and what doesn't? Y'all are giving me crickets over the air. I'm telling you. I'm going to come and find every last panel member, including you, Andre, all the way up in Kentucky. I'm coming for you. Y'all continue to give me crickets.
Wow. I agree with you, Kim, that divorce is not a part of God's plan. And I am divorced. And just to give you all just a little bit of background, I'm married. I didn't have a primal relationship with God at the time that I married. And that relationship wasn't in place at the time that I divorced. I was raised, reared in a home with Christian values. But it was, in my mind, it was so very oppressive. And so at 18, I kind of jumped ship, left running. I was so enamored with this New Age philosophy, New Age view that there are many paths and one truth. And so I strayed away from the Father. And while out there with this kind of Oprah Winfrey, Tom Cruise outlook on life, I married a person. And it was not God, it was outside of God's will. And we divorced, and we were still not in the right relationship with God. But I truly believe that if we seek, again, that primal relationship, if we establish our relationship with God and He allows us to be divinely connected with our mate, that there is no reason, that there is nothing that He cannot resolve within that marriage that He can't work out.
That's so true. You said it all right there.
Now, you said that, no, and I've, and several people have said that, and to be honest with you, that is my belief. I feel like, you know, God can do all things. He can, you know, sneeze and move a mountain. So surely He can help me weather a storm within a relationship. But so many people make the comment of they don't want to get married because they don't want to get divorced. And I find that to be such a sad, you know, outlook. You don't get married and you don't, you know, do what thus says the Lord as far as, you know, everything that is supposed to be within a marriage because you don't want to get divorced, rather than saying, you know what, if I, this person is right for me, I prayed about it, we're going to get married, and we're going to ask God to help us deal with the difficult situations that come ahead. I don't know. That's my outlook on it. I don't see how people can say I don't want to get married because I don't want to get divorced. I think if you get into marriage with divorce in your mind, you're already looking in the wrong direction.
Right. I'm going to make a quick comment, and then I'm going to let somebody else, because, you know, I don't want to dominate conversation. But race car drivers, they avoid hitting a wall not by focusing on the wall. They focus on their lane, because if they focus on the wall, they will hit the wall. So if you go into a marriage thinking, I don't want to be divorced, if you go into the marriage thinking that, you know, with this idea of divorce looming very prevalent in your mind, then you may end up having some challenges in your marriage. We need to focus on the Father, keep our eyes on Him, and maintain our lane in our ministry of marriage.
Definitely. The wife?
She said it all right there.
she said it all.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all are really, I'm telling you, y'all don't understand. Just because I am a Southern Belle does not mean I will not fight. Sure, I don't like to get dirty or any of those things, but I will still scrap. But right now, I know, right? It's like, how do you fight and I get dirty? You have to know what you're doing. But we do have a new person on the line. She's a little bit late joining our panel, but we're still going to pull her into discussion, and maybe she will keep the crickets off air. Good afternoon, Tia. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
We can hear you. Yes, hello. Is your network behind you? If your network is not behind you, I'm going to need you to go to Verizon and do a quick switch.
Whatever.
Very quickly, give a brief introduction for everyone. We're going to continue on with the discussion.
My name is Tia. I have been married. I don't consider it a divorce, but I guess that's what it is legally. I am 28, mother of one, and I'm just joining you. So far, I have heard some of the things that have been made, but I wanted to make a comment on one of those things you were saying. How is it that is it meant for people to be divorced? No, once you get married, it's not meant for you to be divorced. And as we see in the Bible and in the scriptures, it tells that there's only two reasons for it. One is to because your mate was unfaithful, and maybe you just can't deal with it. But there's no other reason for it. There's no other reason for it. If you're not happy with each other, okay, maybe you need to separate and figure out how you can come back to one another and be happy. But if we are going to follow what is written in the Bible, then there is no reason for being divorced, happy or not happy. That's the whole point of going through getting to know each other before you decide to get married. And once you get married, okay, you chose to get married. So that means you have to choose to make it work. And I think in our society today, as someone mentioned, if you go in with the thoughts of divorcing, yeah, you're going to have those problems put before you. You will have different obstacles put before you. But at the same time, you have to think about, okay, is this something I really want to work for? And is this really the person I want to marry, or am I marrying them to get back at someone else? What is your motive for getting married?
Mm-hmm.
Because originally...
Go ahead.
Oh, because realistically and originally, and even today, God's word doesn't change. So when he tells us you get married and you stay married, it's until death parts you, that's what he meant.
You said something that was very interesting, though. You said that if you made the decision to get married, then you need to do the work that's in. But that's something in itself, because if you aren't married and this is not a God-driven relationship, this is something that you decided that you want. God is saying a thing to you about this person was supposed to be with you. That, to me, that changes the dynamic of the relationship. And I'm not saying that there is anything that under the law of the Lord that will justify a divorce. But in looking at divorce, I think you have to look at your reasons for why you got married in the first place.
Exactly. You have to look at why you got married in the first place, and you have to have God in your relationship in order for it to work, because if not, then you are going to have problems and issues.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, God is not going to say, okay, this is the person, he's not just going to put him there and say, this is the person you're supposed to be with. That's kind of like the man that was out in the flood. Why you didn't come save me? You know, I gave you certain things. Now you need to work with them and take care of it. That's the same thing with us and finding a mate. That's the whole point of dating. We don't date just to say, oh, I had this many people that I've dated. You date in order to find your mate.
Well, yeah, we definitely said that early on in the show. I said that you date with a purpose. But I have a question for you, because you said you don't consider yourself divorced. Then what do you consider yourself?
I consider myself single. And the reason I say that is because I'm not sure of her name, and I'm sorry, but one of the panel members mentioned that she got married at an early age. Well, I got married at an early age. Yeah, I got married at an early age also. But realistically, we were only together for about a week. So I consider that an annulment. In my mind, it never really happened. And that's why I say I don't consider myself divorced.
But how does the Bible speak of annulment?
Excuse me?
How does the Bible speak of annulment?
Realistically, I hadn't looked that part up yet. Now, that's something I have to look up and get back with you on. But in my mind, that was an annulment, meaning it never really happened. So, to me, that never happened.
So, you never made the commitment between you, the person, and God?
No. Yes, we were before a judge. Yes, we were at the courthouse. But, like I said, we were probably together for that week. Before I said I do, I knew I should not have said I do. I didn't do it because, I'm just so in love with you and I care about you. Yes, I love him because I love all people and I care about all people. But it was more of a sympathy thing. Oh, people have bid against you on your job. She's not going to show up. She ain't going to be there. Okay, at that point,
well,
I was cool-headed.
But, I mean, even with saying that, though, to me, I'm trying to figure out a way of saying it where it doesn't sound offensive, but to me...
Just say it. We'll clean up later.
I mean, to me, it really sounds like a childish perspective on it, because if you want to get into time limit of how you can say that this was a real marriage, if the covenant was made, then it's marriage. And if the covenant was then broken, you know, you can use the terminology of annulment, saying it never really happened, but... Once a covenant is made, the covenant is made. So to put a time limit on it, I mean, especially when you have the look of divorce is not what God meant, but, I mean, it's not. But you can't see how people can say that it never really happened. Once a covenant is made, the covenant is made. And so from that point, either it's broken or it's kept.
And that's why we are considered imperfect humans, and God is perfect, because we are imperfect. And I can honestly say, And I can own up to, yeah, I did somewhat have a childish view of it at that point. But now that I've grown older, I've always had it in my mind to get married and have a serious relationship. When we talked about that, I already knew that wasn't going to work because I already knew he wasn't what I wanted. That's why I said, yeah, it was a matter of people betting against you. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to show you. And that's why I said when I came on earlier, you have to know why you're doing it, and you have to make sure that you keep that in line with God's thoughts. My thoughts with him had nothing to do with God's thoughts. It was a matter of, oh, you said they're not going to show up. You looking pitiful and feeling, sounding pitiful. Okay, we're going to go ahead and try this. And that's what happened with me. So, yeah, if you look at it that way, it was a covenant made, and it was a divorce. On paper, it says it's a divorce. But in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, there was no divorce because, to me, that was an annulment. There was nothing ever between us.
Right. Kim, let me make a comment. I think this is a very valid point. Kim, I understand your perspective. You're saying there's a covenant and there's a divorce, so there's a divorce decree. But let me just tell you where I am. I don't like using the word divorce when it comes to describing myself. I understand that, yes, there was a covenant and there was a covenant broken, but when you read the scripture, it says the divorce is a curse. And I believe that because of my relationship with God now, that he has restored me. And so I like to refer to myself as single again. I very rarely use that word divorce.
Because I don't use it at all.
With the word divorce comes all of those connotations, all of those things when we think about it being that financial baggage, that emotional baggage. He has delivered me from all of those things. He has healed me. My heart has been healed, and I consider myself to be completely restored from go. So I say I'm single again. But I do understand your perspective, Kim, that there was a covenant was broken, there is a divorce decree. But I don't use that word to refer to myself. I say I'm single again.
Yeah, I say the same thing. I don't say that I'm divorced. Actually, I don't even say that I've even, you know, been in marriage.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that somebody should walk around and that should be your introduction as divorce, but I had the question off of the comment that she made because that was part of the thing. You know, marital status is one of those things that you do kind of, you know, it's on everything. And, you know, in that, I just really wanted to see what was that because, for me, I don't tell people I'm divorced. I, you know, I still take the single walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because for most of the time, there's no real purpose behind it. There is a purpose behind it, then yes, but as far as, you know, everything else goes, yeah, the single box is definitely checked. Now, Dwight and Andre, y'all are being, I'm telling you, y'all are just real gentlemen. I swear y'all have to have that Southern hospitality in you. But I cannot not go to the call lines because I'm looking at a number, and I'm sure I know who this caller is, but the last four digits of the number is 111. So, caller who last four digits is 111, I am coming to you now to take your comment and your question. Good afternoon. Y'all on the air with Kay Sherrill. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, hi. This is Richard.
How you doing, Richard?
I'm just fine, thank you. Look, I'm glad you guys are really having this sort of discussion, and you're having a bit of an in-depth discussion, so I want to jump right to it. Look, the word spirit in practical terms, spirit, spiritual, are really can be defined as truth, just plain old truth. Also, I would like to talk about the prenuptial agreement because whenever you sign a state marriage license, you are signing a prenuptial agreement. It's just one that most people never read because they don't read the family law section that the marriage license is based upon. Also, the state, each state sees marriage as a business. It is a partnership. And the word dissolution means that you are dissolving the business. So I think that from a pragmatic standpoint, if the two parties would draw up their own agreement, I think that would be very helpful. They would be able to reach into the future and bring it to the present, who they really are. It was once said that the writing is the mirror of the mind. You bring your mind out of you. And so if a man and a woman were to sit and write out what they want, for example, the reason there's such a high divorce rate is because the two people never get to know each other. They never discuss anything of substance. They don't discuss sex. They don't discuss money. They don't discuss their religion, politics, nothing of any substance. It really comes up between a man and a woman. They just see each other and they're gaga, and they go with that. So my position would be that we draw up a prenuptial agreement. Now, some people will say, will poo-poo that. They'll say, okay, well, that's a foreshadowing of the end of the relationship. That's not true. It's relationship insurance. Just like when you buy auto insurance, you don't go out and get in a wreck. You buy homeowners insurance, burn your house down. It is insurance, basically, that protects you. It indemnifies you. So at any rate, if you keep me in the queue, if you have a, you know, question, but I would like to hear some erudite responses to that.
I agree, and it's scriptural. What you're saying is scriptural. The Word of God says write the vision and make it clear. Why would you enter in something as monumental and important as the marriage institution and not have a vision?
Exactly.
And the only things you've done, if you've held hands and you've gone to a movie and you've seen a concert, but you haven't talked about sex, you haven't talked about money, you haven't talked about whether or not we're going to have joint accounts or separate accounts, you haven't talked about where we're going to live and how that space is going to be financed, you haven't talked about insurance and what happens if somebody dies or loses income. So you have to sit down and think about these things and put it on paper and have a vision. And the other thing that I want to say why that vision is important, it oftentimes men say that women don't submit to their husbands. They're not supportive of their husbands. People follow a leader that has a vision. If the man comes in and he doesn't have a vision and he's not able to make it clear and make it plain, if we can't sit down and reason together and develop a vision, why should I follow? You don't know you, brother. So I agree with you. Absolutely. It's script. We need to put it down, make it plain.
Wow. Yes, definitely. Richard, I definitely hope that you will continue to stay on the air and listen as we continue on with the discussion. I'm going to move because there are only so many minutes of this show left. I want to at least get some of the callers on. So right now I'm looking at a caller whose last 4 digits of the number is 2552. Caller, if you're listening, you're with the last 4 digits, 2552. I am coming to you now. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Kay Sherelle and the guest panel for today. Who am I speaking with?
Jordan Lawson. Lamar Lawson.
Good afternoon, Joy. What is your question or comment?
I don't really have a question, but I'm just listening. It was interesting when she was writing out the scripture as far as marriage is concerned. Well, not marriage, but when she was talking about what it was about the financial, as far as not discussing anything with your partner before you actually engage in a marriage. I find that interesting because a lot of people actually do that. A lot of people, you know what I'm saying, like I think Dre said earlier, your head is in the clouds in a sense, and you never really discuss these type of things. In my relationship, actually, we sit down and talk about that a lot, exactly what's going to happen once we are together or once we are married or this, that, and the other. But I think that is the number one cause for divorce, you know what I'm saying, and people really don't understand. If you're not grounded in the word, if you're not grounded in God's word, then you're not going to be able to find direction. You have no direction if you don't have God in your life, you know what I'm saying, pretty much. I mean, and God is not just going to church. Church is a building, you know, and actually allow God to be that third strand, in a sense, you know what I'm saying, that third person who actually keeps you directed. It's like marriage counseling, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? You got to have that counseling, and that counseling doesn't come from a person sitting on the table. I mean, sitting on the sofa with a pad in his hand talking to you. That's not it. You know what I'm saying? You got to have direction from a higher being, in a sense.
Okay.
Good.
I agree. That's true.
Absolutely.
And you also have to have communication.
Like I was saying earlier, though, that, you know, when you get married, it seems like people stop that kind of thing, you know. Like I said, me and my wife set a time every month to sit down and figure out financial stuff together, you know, what we can do a little extra here or what we got to hold back here to, you know, to make it. Mm-hmm. Why? A lot of people don't do that. That's what I'm talking about. That's part of things of spending time together you can do. You know, it might not be what you want to do, but you're spending time together and you're working at your marriage.
100%. I want to thank Richard and Jordan both for calling in with their questions and their comments. Those of you who are still listening in and you haven't decided whether or not you would like to talk to us, we would love to have you on air. The call-in number is 646-595-4522. So I have this question, and I really, I don't know, I guess that I'm just going to throw it out there. When you're dating someone, if you have been in a relationship for a year or more than a year and it does not look like it is moving in the direction of marriage anytime soon, what should you do?
You have to go back and reevaluate your situation personally. And then you move from there as to whether or not you need to stay there or you need to move on.
Okay. That's one time in. Dwight? You're going to talk. You agree with everybody. Everybody made all of the comments you were going to make, Dwight. What is really going on? Are you shy on air?
I guess I am a little. It's my first time, so.
You're a radio virgin. Oh. Glad I was your first.
Thank you, Kim. I agree with that. I think you need to go back and reevaluate your situation. If it doesn't look like it's going anywhere further, I think you need to move on. I really do.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm going to, go ahead.
What I'm saying is, You gotta obviously, like I said, reevaluate the situation. Okay, is it a relationship that you think and that other person think is something that definitely needs to go on, or is it just a little, well, you know, just to say we're dating kind of thing? You know, think about the situation that's going on. You know, are you with that person every day? Do you hardly get to see that person? Are you states away? I mean, this kind of thing, you have to think about that way, because when you're a distance away, you're both going as far as trying to do a career path. You got to realize that both of you are going to have to give. It's not just one giving. It's going to be both in order to make a relationship work.
Exactly.
And he raised a very valid point, Andre, when you say if you're just dating. And I'm pleased that you said that, because that means that there's a difference between dating and courting. Dating means that we're just hanging out. And we don't really see each other as marriage material. And we might just hang out in groups. And that's okay. It's okay to hang out with people of opposite sex in groups, to sit and talk. You want to know how men interact or how men react, and you want to know how to communicate with them and be comfortable with them so that you're versed in topics that are of interest with men or of interest with people of the opposite sex. But when you move into a state and where God gives you the green light for your mate, and this is for men, because men find and women are found. And so when God gives a man the green light to find a mate, then he goes into courtship, a purposeful dating. By that third date, he knows whether this is a courtship, and that's different from dating. That's different from casual dating.
At a year mark,
I think we would be prayerful and we would ask God, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this relationship? Is this a relationship, is this going to be a ministry partner or a business partner? Are we going to publish? Are we going to do research together? Are we going to do other things together? Or is this my mate? And if this is my mate, Father, Lord God, reveal that to him and cause him to walk forward in obedience and take me as his spouse. And if he's not my mate, cause us to part ways amicably, or see what was our paths crossing. Because it might not be every person that you meet. It's not the, maybe you'll have a business together. Maybe you'll publish together. Maybe you'll do research together. Maybe you'll work on projects together. So at a year, it's time to talk to the Father about, okay, where do we go from here?
That is definitely something that is interesting, and I have to say that the discussion today definitely has the wheels turning in my head. And one of the shows that I have coming up, those of you, I'm not sure how often any of you follow my show, but I have a show coming up in a few weeks, and it's titled Why Are Black Women Alone? And there are co-authors who wrote this book, both black men wrote this book as to why black women are alone, and that is still spinning in my head as part of this discussion is going, because I know for me, a lot of it has to do with lessons learned and choices that I am now deciding to make for my life, because after a certain point, you can no longer just do the casual dating and let's be friends and let's hang out and play Uno together, because you do want to, if you know, I know for me, I desire to have that family life. That is something that I've always sort of envisioned for my life versus just being a lifelong girlfriend. And so I do hope that all of you will check that show out on May 22nd, because it definitely, I think it's going to be a very interesting thing. I want to ask this question. After a certain, like, how old is too old to have a boyfriend? That is because I met someone the other day, and she is 30, and her boyfriend is 35, and one of my friends made the comment that after the age of 25, you can't have a boyfriend.
Personally, I don't think you're ever too old to have a boyfriend. But as was mentioned, I think there's just a time limit put on it. One of my uncles said within a year, 6 months to a year, you know whether or not you want to marry that person. So I don't necessarily think it's an age limit or a time frame as far as how old you are to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. But I think it's more of you know what you want to do. So let's not drag this out any longer.
That is interesting, and you know, and many people see it as that way, and others see it as rushing. Some people saying, "Well, if you know I'm right for you, and I know that you're right for me, and we both have prayed about this, you know, why aren't we getting married? Why are we still just, you know, being, you know, dating or courting or whatever, and you know, just having sex with each other? Why aren't we making this, you know, honorable in God's eyesight?" And others see it as, okay, well, you're rushing me, you know, or I still got, you know, things I want to do for my life. I think that definitely a big thing with marriage is the perspective of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, viewing marriage as a prison sentence.
Hey, Cheryl, this is Dr. Lynn. This is going to be my last comment. I have to leave you. This is a wonderful discussion. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. But to that, I'd like to say, at no point I think that a woman should feel as if she's dragging a man through the relationship. Because if you have to drag the man to the altar, then you have usurped his headship in that relationship. And he is, in God's word, I know we're, you know, we're feminists, we're independent women, you know, women, I got, you know, business, bank account, homes, you know, those things, but he is still the head of that relationship, and you usurp his authority when you pull him to the altar. And so then things are off kilter. They're not balanced throughout the relationship. And throughout the relationship, you know, there's a struggle on who is at the head of that relationship. So, no, we shouldn't pull him through and pull him to the next level. We should pray about it and at some point be willing to walk away. And that means in order for you to be willing to walk away, that means you cannot give too much of yourself without him giving something to you. We give too much of our hearts. We give our bodies. We give our soul and our spirit with no commitment. I say we need to stop giving until the brother commits. So with that, I love you, Kay Sherelle. Love everyone here. But I have to go.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining. I hope you will continue to listen to the show. Definitely appreciate all of your comments this morning.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Well, Andre,
just comment on that before you go.
What it means. Andre and Dwight, that means you're going to have to talk to me now. You're going to have to talk, okay?
If I may just comment on what she said before the show was over or whatever. To an extent, I think it's okay to be strong-willed. It's okay to be independent. And, yes, we do have to realize that man is the head, but at the same time, we have thoughts and opinions too, and sometimes we do need to be pulled along. Sometimes, you know, there does need to be a little pushing or a little encouraging going on the man's part and on the woman's part. Now, as far as women giving their heart and their bodies and their mind and soul to this man and he hasn't committed anything to them, I agree. We should not be doing that. All women need to take some type of respect and get their self-esteem up, because I feel like that's part of the issues or part of the reason we have the issues that we do now when it comes to a relationship between a man and a woman. But I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman somewhat pushing or encouraging to find out what's going on in her relationship and, you know, trying to get married. We all want to be with somebody. We all need to be with somebody. And rather than sitting back and just, oh, I'm going to pray about it. Okay, yeah, we can pray about it, but at the same time, we can't just sit there. We have to do something as well.
Interesting. I wanna ask this question to you, Tia. Do you find it hard to date, to purposefully date, or court in 2010?
I have to say yes and no, and I guess I'm leaning more so toward no, so maybe it is a no, and my reason for saying that is a lot of men now step to you with games and problems and issues, not to say that we don't all have our problems and issues, but to most men it seems as though it's a notch in my belt as to how many women I get to talk to, or if I was able to coerce you into sleeping with me, or did you just go ahead and sleep with me anyway, and we just, you know, met. We really haven't gotten to know each other. And then not only that, as women, it goes back a long ways, and I've been listening to your show a while, and if you notice, I always bring up how we were back in the day, our African-American history. To me, most women are raising sons, and we're raising our sons to be men. But yet we turn around and we fuss about what this man does not do. We fuss about how this man try to treat us, how this one, he treats me good, but he wants to be a little player and have somebody on the side. We have to raise our young boys and raise them into being the men that we want them to be. And I think as a whole, whether you're black, white, whatever, but specifically in the African-American community, I think there is more of, oh, you don't want to get married because you got to deal with this, this, and this. Or she's going to change, you know, that kind of thing. And our young boys and our young men, they start to grow up listening to that and hearing it. And then it's, you're not a man if you're not doing this, and you're not a man if you didn't do that. Okay, so then it puts in front of them, okay, I wouldn't mind trying this, but I don't want to hear my boys talking about me, you know, and I don't want to hear this person saying this. So to an extent, yes and no, it is somewhat hard to date, because it's hard when you see somebody that you'd be interested in dating and getting to know, and they may be interested in getting to know you, but at the same time, they have ulterior motives. So to an extent, yeah, it can be hard dating, but at the same time, I'm older, and I've always been headstrong, so I'm kind of like Medea. The way you walk and the way you talk lets me know if we can have anything further, and I will let you know that. And, you know, and I've been trying to get to the point where I'm not just, I try to sweeten it a little bit with some sugar when I tell you. But if you come in with the game, I can usually pick it up, and I'm like, okay, we're going to eat, and you go your way, and I go mine. So okay. Yes and no.
Okay. Well, I want to ask, this is for you, Andre. I want to know, with this discussion today, are you taking away anything from the discussion that we've had today about relationships?
Well, definitely. I mean, it's definitely an eye-opener to, you know, to see that things that I'm saying, you know, I'm not the only one out there that feels the same way, feels strong about, you know. I mean, hearing everybody talk about some of the same points that, well, I didn't even have to say anything because they're taking words out of my mouth pretty much. You know, and then on the side, you know, to understand some of the things that I didn't think about as far as in a relationship, you know. Like she just brought up a very valid point. You know, when she said that as far as women raising sons, you know, I was raised by my mom. You know, I had no father figure around or anything like that. So my mom was trying to show me how to be a man.
you know. But a lot of that, you know, it was, well, like you said, well, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing this, you know. And so you try to learn what to take as good in a relationship and what not to. But in life, you're lost a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Instead of somebody actually showing you.
You know what, and I would definitely like to commend you, Andre, for coming on the show, because it can be a little bit intimidating to come on a show with so many different individuals, but you have definitely brought a very wholesome perspective to this discussion today, and I think that it is completely admirable that you identified the wife that God had for you and that you were willing to step up and be a man to her and not just be another body in the bed. So that is definitely something to be 100% admire, and I think that with the youth ministry and things that you are working on, that you are definitely going to be a valuable asset to the youth in this world, particularly the young men. Dwight, I am moving to you. I would like to know if you are taking anything from this discussion today.
Yes, I am. A lot of encouragement that, especially with Andre, to see that there are some young people out there that are going with God and all the things that they do and trying to keep their relationships together and following His word. So I'm encouraged myself, and there is just encouragement for me and the things that I'm going through right now. So, yeah.
That's what I do, Dwight. K. Sherelle, the encourager. I'm telling you. Multifaceted. Tia, very quickly want to move to you as we wrap the show up. Are you taking anything from this discussion today?
Sure. I mean, it's been wonderful, even though the guys really haven't spoken up for the time that I've been on the phone. I mean, you know, on the line. But it's good to take different ones' perspectives on how they, you know, look at different things. That's important because that helps us all to grow. So yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely a thing, and I think that I would love to have a show a little bit further in depth about the languages of love and really have more guy participation for the guys that are listening, because I think that that is maybe one of the biggest communication barriers in a relationship, is that we don't know how to interpret each other's love language. So that is definitely something that I am going to work on, because 2010 is dedicated to adding to the life. This is no longer just for entertainment purposes only. Definitely want to contribute and add, you know, add to everyone's life. I have taken so much from this, and my wheels are really spinning. And I heard this quote before. It says, when a person shows you who they really are, believe them. And I think that one of the things that's so difficult to do when you are in love, when you're seeking love, is to believe what the person is showing you about themselves, because we do desire to have that companionship that is naturally within us. And so definitely have my wheels turning about all of that. And I do hope that everyone will continue to listen to the show and be a part of the show for forever. I hope that you are all Now Life listeners. So right now, as a wrap up the show, I definitely want to thank all of my panel members for participating, because that can definitely be something that is a little bit heart-wrenching to come on radio and to be open about your relationship and your feelings. And although we did do an extra long show today, we still did not 100% dive into it. So I would love to invite all of my panel back to join me as we continue this discussion and get a little bit more in depth, because Richard brought up sex, and sex is one of the things that we did not discuss, but it is definitely a huge factor in relationships, and it needs to be discussed because this is Real Talk Radio, so it is definitely something that is coming up soon, very soon, very soon. And so right now, I just want to just say thank you for the listeners. You have been absolutely fantabulous, and that is my word. I can use it as much as I like. I'm starting to get a little hoarse. I've been talking a lot today. Definitely, as the show wraps up, want to plug in on May 22nd. Why are black women alone? The truth revealed, and the authors Hank Bullard and Jarquez Douglas will be on the air. They will take callers' questions. They will give their comments as to why they feel like someone like me, why I'm alone. They're going to tell me why I'm alone, and I have to say I'm so excited about that because I'm still just running that through my head. You can tell me why black women are alone. To me, that seems to be, I don't know, like it's going to be a very stereotypical conversation, not 100% sure. Also want to tell everybody listening to the show right now that if you love art, you like poetry, spoken word, music, you definitely need to join me in Rick's at the Tavern at the Wing Lab. It's on Highway 42. It's right around the corner from Morrow. So if you come through Morrow to see me, you can definitely do that. Tonight I will be at Apache Cafe for Are You Atlanta's Next Fresh Thing. If you are in the house, please tap me on the shoulder. I have no idea what I will be wearing. But if you've ever seen my picture anywhere, I'm sure at some point you will recognize me. Definitely want to let everybody know the new newsletter is coming out. Look forward by the end of next week, the May-June issue. Again, if you have a show idea, you're interested in being in the show, send me an email, realtalk@sherelleinc.com. This information can be found on my webpage, sherelleinc.com. It can be found on the show page. If you're listening over the internet, the email address is right there. Definitely love to hear your comments, concerns, questions, because I don't do this for myself. I enjoy, but I do it for you because I love you. I promise you I do. And so definitely want all of the comments, all the concerns. If you have any additional comments or questions for the panel today, Andre, the White, Lindiria, or Tia, send me an email, and I can definitely put you in connection with them. I can't tell you that I'm going to give you their number personally, but I can tell you that I will connect you with them to make sure to get your question or your comment. If you're interested in being on the second part to the show, definitely send me an email, text message, tweet me, smoke signal, you know, send me a message and a bottle by a pigeon. I will get it. I will be so excited and ecstatic to hear it. I promise you. Join me not next Saturday because it is Mother's Day weekend, and so I'm not going to bore you with my comments and concerns, but I will be back on air on May 15th at the regular time. Please stay tuned to the show page and continue listening to the show. And I apologize for the fact that I am beginning to get a little hoarse right now. I never thought it was possible that I could have talked too much. Again, a big thank you to all of my panel members. I love you more than you will ever know. Thank you for joining me right now. I'm going to take you out of the show with a poem that I wrote, and it's titled Funny. So I hope you will stay on the air long enough to hear. I love you. Real Talk Radio. See you on May 15th.
As I stand before you for the first time, somehow my heart knew it would not be the last time. When legs spread and tears were shed, it's funny how she looks just like you, but laughs just like me. Oh, wow, if only you could see what I see. Looking back on the last time you and I shared a cry, funny, we really thought we had a lifetime. And though that's what we got, it's not quite what we thought. But what is a lifetime? Is a lifetime really forever? The end of forever is what we fought. sipping on tea between the sheets. Oh, baby, wasn't our life so sweet? Forever grateful to Master I will be for uniting you and me. And though I miss the days when our hearts were one, somehow my heart did not lie. It knew this would not be the last time. It's funny how she looks just like you.